Hey, Brendan.
Hello,
We're back. We made it. Number 101.
no Dalmatians.
I
I'm sorry, I take that back already.
The 101st episode of the Not a Thing podcast is officially underway. Thanks for listening, everybody. I think 100 was one of my favorites, to not only to record, but I listened to it again, kind of over the weekend, and it was good. I have to pat us on the back for that
Yeah, I actually listen to it too. I
one.
usually don't listen.
We were there, we
Yeah.
understand. But yeah, super thanks to Skylar for moderating the discussion, and then Garen for not only the theme song for last week, but the one for this week, and probably weeks to come as we go. We're changing just little things up now and again. You probably won't change up anything too major, but yeah, I hope you like the new kinds of touches on things. And if you would like to contribute to the podcast, either in, those kinds of ways or guest kinds of ways or monetarily, let us know. We'll work it out. Hashtag
Hashtag
flat earth. But otherwise, yeah, we should just jump right in, right? Probably.
Yeah, we know how to do this. We've done
Right.
100. I don't know how many things I've done 100 of.
It's a
Like that I've
pretty
created. It's like,
Right.
yeah, you can do 100 push-ups, you do 100 sit-ups, whatever. But I mean, as far as a creative endeavor,
You can do 100
not anymore. At
push-ups?
one time, yes.
Nice. Nice. I remember a while ago there was a not an exercise trend exactly, but there was a website that was supposed to give you the plan to do 100 push-ups, and I remember doing it, and I feel like I did get to the point of 100, but I also was hating push-ups like nothing else. Like I hated thinking about push-ups and all that kind of stuff in between. Whereas I feel like if you actually want to continue to do exercise, it should be something you sort of enjoy.
Yeah,
So,
get those endorphins.
right. So, exercising for the wrong reasons, not a thing. It's our first not a thing of the triple digit kind of era. But not the last. We're gonna jump in with a new entry into the Fuck the Police segment of the show. We're bringing it back. This week it's about a subject near and dear to my heart, which is my town of San Jose. Town. You can't really call it
Town.
a
No. If a place has a million people in it, you can't call it a town.
town. Well, apparently, San Jose police was giving something like $400,000 to work on quote unquote special projects and kind of interesting new technology, etc. And so, one of the things that they have supposedly bought, but have not ever deployed yet because they're still trying to figure out probably how to work it, is they bought a $7,000 UAV drone. It's a hexcopter, so I guess that means it has six rotors. And yeah, that's kind of crazy. And if you know us and the stance of the podcast, not a thing.
I've seen RoboCop. I know where this goes.
Yeah, I think a drone copter, just by being lower to the ground and kind of essentially made to be a mobile camera platform, is pretty much made for peeping into people's backyards, which is so not okay. I mean, I think there are ways to make kind of drones possibly useful in law enforcement, but I also feel like we have to work out the how airspace works, right? How personal airspace and lines of sight and all that kind of stuff. That needs to get figured out.
It better just drop consent forms as it flies along, because no, you can't just spy on me.
Well, hopefully not on you. I feel like the distance between here and there, where you are in your wine country bunker, might be a little too far.
I might be a little unsafe up here, yeah. You're right. But I mean, back when I was living in East San Jose, I'm sure I would have seen it.
Oh, yes. San Jose. You can drive 45 minutes and still be in San Jose.
And go a mile.
Oh, horrible San Jose traffic. Not a thing. But let's see. We're going to stick with our stance about robots for another story. There was a opinion piece posted on, I think it was medium.com, which is kind of crowdsourced content, but it's a nice website. It's good for people that have kind of a point of view and want to put stuff out. And this person's point of view is talking about how, the role that machines play in kind of relieving people of work. And it's actually done from a very kind of humanist point of view about how machines generally are used as tools to kind of remove kind of unwanted work from us. And so automation has kinds of good things and bad things, and there's ways to look at it. And the way that it's talking about in this article, apparently there's a movement towards having machine-based monitoring and care of people that are either very elderly or very sick or otherwise, people that require currently kind of personal care. And the article makes a really good point on a few different levels about why this is kind of not a good idea. I think one of the best points in it is really just that if you're the main kind of argument for having it is there not enough people to care for the growing population of elderly and sick. And really what it says is what you're saying is there are not enough people that care. It's just,
right.
I mean, not from a, like, are able to care, because there are certainly people that are underemployed or unemployed. It's just, there are people that don't care, that would rather be doing X, Y, or Z, and kind of outsourcing that to robots. You know, aside from the normal stance of the podcast, which is generally anti-robot and anti, anti-machine, this is anti-robot and anti-machine from a different point of view, which is people should care about other people.
Especially their own old people.
Right.
I mean, it's bad enough that we leave our elderly to be taken care of by strangers, but to put them in the hands of godless killing machines, that's not right.
Not a thing. It's pretty clear stance for that, so I don't think we have to dwell too much on that. Let's move over to robots actually in a better light. And so this is about the Opportunity rover on Mars, and it has recently crossed over something like 25 miles of travel, of just kind of roving around on Mars, doing its thing, doing its surveying and whatnot. And that surpasses a record, which has been held since the late 70s and there's some dispute if this is like a Soviet robot or a Russian robot.
I mean, it's a rover. It's basically a remote control car.
Yeah. I just think it's funny that there's still the, US and Russia space race is still going on.
It only took 10 years for the Opportunity rover to travel 25 miles. So basically we can convert San Jose traffic to Martian driving.
That's what we should have robots do. We should have robots driving in San Jose.
Well, it's driven from JPL, right? Which is basically in San Jose.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Okay. Well, the previous record was a lunar rover, which went something like 24.2 miles or something like that. So NASA was able to get Opportunity to go 25. So,
well, moon miles don't seem NASA. As impressive as Martian miles. Like, we got it all the way to Mars. And then drove it 25 miles.
Right. Exactly. It's like
those miles should count.
You should count the delta between the moon and Mars for that one. Well, I think it's fair. We can have robots driving around on uninhabited Mars and uninhabited moon. That's okay, right?
We may now have the distance record, but I'm pretty sure the Soviets still have the speed record, because it took 10 years to go 25 miles on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
It took less than 5 months to go 24 miles on the moon. We were hauling.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll work on it. I'm sure we have some things in the works.
Get on it, Elon Musk.
Oh yeah, that would be that'd be pretty rad. I think they need to just stop with this kind of multi-wheel thing and just get the repulsor anti-grav stuff out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you got it.
And it's going to be electric, so it's easy to get up there and charge it on solar power and all that kind of stuff. It'll be fun. USA. USA. Well, in other kind of fun and interesting space news, the massive radio telescope at Arecibo picked up some kind of bursts of radio traffic, and this was corroborated by an array of radio telescopes. I can't remember where. It was in a different part of the globe, but it essentially said that there was a radio burst of some sort that is probably not of Earth origin. And they're not quite saying that it was necessarily something that was intelligently created or otherwise, made by, aliens or whatever. But it's still pretty cool.
Now, is this the Arecibo telescope of Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey fame?
I prefer to think of it as the telescope of GoldenEye fame.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
But yes, it was...
Spoiler alert, Sean Bean dies again.
He actually dies twice in that movie.
Right. But, for England and for James.
So it was, I love seeing that. It's such a cool, let's build a radio telescope. How do we build a radio telescope? Well, let's build this big kind of dish, and then put the collector kind of above the dish. It's like, oh, how big can we build the dish? Let's build it really, 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 really big. Let's put it in a valley and then hang the collector rather than having it kind of stick up out of the dish. It's like, okay, yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous and awesome. Now, supposedly, they get kind of similar results by having arrays of smaller dishes that they then kind of, coordinate together so they can point in the same direction and stuff. It's not as cool.
But one big dish is really cool. you can get all the channels.
Right. So the Arecibo radio telescope is a thing. I hope the... I'm not actually sure. I hope that we get more necessarily extra terrestrial transmissions and stuff. I think it's probably a good idea that we're looking, because if we get some, we should really freak out.
Yeah, if Stephen Hawking is right, then we don't want that to be a thing.
Yeah,
or at least we have enough advance notice to prepare.
Right, right.
Start prepping our deployment of Jeff Goldblum.
I was going to go Starship Troopers, but...
No, I want to live forever.
Yeah, I have to get my my power book ready to deal with that that alien.
I'd rather put my money on Jeff Goldblum than Neil Patrick Harris, or Casper Van Dien, for that matter. Definitely Denise Richards.
Oh, that reminds me. I have to give a shout out to what is that blog? It's called Sci-Fi Interfaces. They recently changed the name of it. It used to be Make It So, which was obviously from the Next Generation fame. But this was the group that made a blog that was deconstructing interfaces from sci-fi movies to kind of pick out how they would work or good lessons about user interfaces and how interfaces kind of evoke emotion and workability from things. And recently they have been doing ones on Starship Troopers, so that was why it was on my mind recently, and they're epic.
Let me guess, people like lights and noises.
One of the better ones is it's showing the navigation interface, which I think it's Denise Richards' character is driving or piloting the ship.
Yeah, she's a pilot.
Right. And the warning that it says, you know, the proximity alarm or whatever is at these weird kind of annoying intervals that don't kind of help the situation, and it just goes through like deconstructing all of those. It's really quite good. I enjoy that interface, that website quite a bit. So we'll link that one probably.
You know, the military in Starship Troopers the movie might be one of the worst militaries ever put on screen. Like, they're really bad. They lose a lot of people. Their ship, they park all the ships right above the planet,
right,
and then get blown up.
Yep.
You have machine guns with shotguns on them. You can send someone across the stars, but using a machine gun. With not a large enough caliber round, apparently.
No. And apparently, really no plan for, orbital bombardment. It's like, you know, the thing that essentially they were doing to Earth, they were hurling huge rocks or asteroids at the Earth. I'm not saying that we should have been doing that in kind. It's more like if we have the ability to fly out to wherever these things are and then transport people down, we have the ability to rain down crazy things on these guys. So, I don't know. Just seems like a bad plan on many levels.
Well, they also were kind of like space Nazis, so that was probably a good thing they weren't doing so well. I would like to know more.
Yeah. Oh, that is one more thing that they talked about on that website. It's really quite good. I'll send the link over. In kind of other interesting space news, but taking it back to Earth for a little bit, kind of going to Mars, but only sort of. There was a story about a long-term test for scientists to plan for a Martian mission, and the way they were planning for it was they were planning on what would it take to kind of live in a mostly enclosed environment. Like when you're inside the capsule, you know, you're fine. If you have to do anything outside, you have to put on a spacesuit. And obviously we've dealt with this a little bit for the moon, but for Mars, the all indications would be it would much longer trip. You know, we would be there for a longer period of time because the windows between how close the Earth is to Mars and et cetera, just makes more sense. And so there's been a test going for people to live, you know, like they would on Mars. So they have to get in and out of spacesuits. They have to perform tasks that, you know, require them to be, you know, in the suits and collaborating, et cetera. And the way they're doing this is they sent everyone to Hawaii.
Sign me up.
So I guess they're using kind of a like volcanic like crater area or something where there's no people and it's a very rocky surface. So it kind of mimics some amount of stuff about how Mars is, but it's still Hawaii.
Right. They're only there for a few months and then they get to, you know, be in Hawaii.
So I want to say they were in kind of in training for 4 months straight. And so there's not only kind of a photo blog of stuff that they've done and photos of them in all the suits and doing, you know, daily kind of stuff. They also did a Reddit AMA, which I think is great. And so we can link one or both of those kind of in the show notes.
It looked like a fun project, and I would want to participate. I think it's a good step in the right direction because we should go to Mars.
Yeah.
But I can already see the internet people, you know, those internet people, saying this is just a training mission for them to fake the Mars landing like they did the moon landing. It was shot in Hawaii.
Yeah. Yeah. They, they're already photoshopping the memes together now. Oh, grumpy cat on Mars, you know, however you have to do it. Doge in a spacesuit.
I want to launch the Doge meme into space. And not to inflict it on extraterrestrials, because that might really cause a problem. But just to get rid of it.
Oh yeah, it doesn't make sense to me either. I guess it's I don't know. It is kind of cute, I suppose, but it's also just kind of whatever. I mean, internet culture, it eventually becomes so self-referential that it has no meaning on its own, and
it had no meaning to begin with.
Yeah. I think the thing that's really kind of amazingly pathetic about it is the weird altcoin that kind of sprung up around it. So
Dogecoin?
Yeah, we've all talked about Bitcoin on the show, and we talked a little bit about some alternate, you know, like cryptocurrencies that have come up. What's interesting is that I know a lot of those came up because they were easier to mine than Bitcoins were. But that just means they have like zero value compared to an actual Bitcoin. But yeah, there's a Dogecoin, and that is something like a value of like 10,000 Dogecoins to one Bitcoin or something even more ridiculous than that.
Yeah, that's a term we use at my office for douchebags. We call them Dogecoins. Don't be a Doge.
Wow, that's a great way to take that back.
Yeah, we're taking it back.
Well, something that Facebook is taking back is the Messenger. So the concept of Messenger, which I guess I don't know. Isn't that what AOL called their instant messaging thing?
Yeah, it was called Messenger.
Is Facebook's called Messenger as well?
It is.
Yeah.
And
so
I'm gonna ruin this right now for you, Alan. That was a great transition. And before the show, we didn't know how you're gonna make the transition, and I was ready to throw you under the bus, and you nailed it. 101 episodes.
Well, you know, it had to happen sometime.
My hat off to you, sir. Now that I've totally thrown off the momentum.
Well,
that's on me.
The messenger from Facebook, if you haven't heard already, and you probably have if you have Facebook, is that they're splitting off the communication, the chat and email style thing that was part of Facebook, Facebook messaging, and splitting it off into another app. And this is a trend that is really kind of accelerating. I want to say Facebook split off their Pages as an app. They split off Poke at one point, and then I feel like they pulled it.
is poking still a thing?
I thought it was, actually.
Poke somebody.
I want to say they made a special app
Facebook
just for it. I don't know. But yeah, and then Google has done it. They split off their Hangouts app. They split off the voice kind of thing as its own app. You know, it's contributing to the kind of explosion of apps and different ways of getting to stuff. And I think it's kind of a natural outgrowth of those sites being big and bloated and having too many features. And it's a way of kind of reducing the feature set to, in theory, something more core. But at the same time, I don't feel like I need another app just for communicating with people, mostly because I already do like instant messaging and email. Having a Facebook one, it's just diversifying the communication method even more. So,
well, I didn't know this was a new policy because I've had that app for a while.
Oh.
I use it pretty regularly. I don't use the Google chat.
Oh, no.
Because I have like 10 people on there. So.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, my kind of chat critical mass is probably based around people I still know on MSN's Messenger thing.
You still have MSN Messenger?
Yeah, right? It's wild.
Wow.
I signed into it with my Hotmail account.
Which doesn't even exist.
Right. It's pretty awesome. I mean, they haven't dead-ended it, and I still talk to people on it. So
that's a fun one to explain to people. Just go to Outlook.com and put in your Hotmail address.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird, but I don't know. I think the modes of communication, maybe it just means that those things haven't really stabilized yet. There's still different ways of dealing with it. I mean, I remember when instant messaging was kind of coming up, and that was like, okay, well, there's things that I will say over chat and things that I will say over email, and there's kind of a separation for both of those. Now
that's a very 90s mentality. And I'm the same way.
Right. Oh, good. Yeah. I think, you know, texting and chat and email and now Facebook kind of messaging is its own thing. I think there's definitely kind of a level to each of those that is not necessarily a common kind of level. I mean, other than communicating with other people, there's just certain modes of communication that make more sense than others. And so that can get figured out. And I think will get figured out. I'd rather it got figured out without Facebook or Google kind of witnessing all of it and somehow finding ways to monetize it. But, you know, I think human communication evolves, and so that's fine.
And some branches of the tree of evolution die.
it's a good thing.
Or like
now
Google Hangouts, they get thrown down a well.
Oh, yeah. Although it's still around. I'm glad the Hangouts app is still around, only because
we're using it right now.
Literally right now. Right.
I know. Last week on the 100th episode, I told Google they could suck it. I apologize. I was high on excitement from our 100th episode.
You know, it's just like their kind of quote unquote apology for everyone that wasn't using real names on Google Plus. So I think, you know, kind of in the offing, it works out.
All right, we'll call it even.
Yeah. Don't be evil.
I'm not going to hold a grudge.
Well, something we'll be kind of keeping in our thoughts for the next few days anyway is Silicon Valley Beer Week, or at least I'll be keeping in thoughts.
No, it'll be in your thoughts because you'll be enjoying it, and it'll be in my thoughts as I'm plotting my revenge for not enjoying it.
Well, I don't know. There's a fair amount of decent beer where you are at, too. So
that's true. Every week is Beer Week in Sonoma County. You have your pick of good beers.
Yeah. Silicon Valley Beer Week, oddly enough, features a lot of those breweries from the northern counties. So Lagunitas is going to be down here. Drake's, which is in kind of the East Bay, is down here. Who else did I see? I know Bear Republic is down for a little bit.
Gordon Biersch is probably there.
What?
Gordon Biersch is probably there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, considering there is a brewery on 12th in San Jose, why not? But yeah, there's a bunch of breweries, some local, some not, are doing some cool events, tap takeovers at bars, beer pairing dinners, which I had one of those on Sunday, just kind of on a whim, and it was amazing. It was at Firehouse Number 1, which is on San Pedro. It's normally kind of a quieter kind of bar. I mean, O'Flaherty's gets a lot of traffic, and so does San Pedro Square Market. So Firehouse is just kind of a smaller one in there. And I'd been there for like drinks in between things, but they had a beer pairing that they did with Avery Brewing, which was great. So they had 5 courses and 5 beers, and I just can't get over how well everything paired. And what was really fun was they had a representative from they had the main chef come out and talked about every dish, but they also had a representative from the brewery to talk about not only the beer but some kind of fun facts about the beer. And one of the things that came up was one of the beers is Salvation that they make, and Avery Brewing is out in Colorado, and Russian River Brewing makes a beer called Salvation, and they're both kind of Belgian styles, but the Russian River one is kind of darker, and the Avery Brewing one is kind of lighter, and apparently the brewmasters from both met at a like kind of convention and kind of were like, hey, you make a beer called Salvation. Hey, you make one called Salvation too. Are you going to sue me? No, let's all drink beer together. And so they apparently collaborated on a beer that's coming out called Collaboration Without Litigation, which I think is hilarious. And so it's a mix of those two Salvation beers. So beer, it brings people together. Go with that one. I think that one's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, check out some of those events. I know I'm going to one on Friday, which is at 55 South. It's called like Not Your Father's Boilermaker. And a brewmaster from Stone is coming out, and he's pairing whiskeys with beers, and not just Stone beers, which is nice. So they're kind of going all throughout the portfolio. And just looking at the list, I feel drunk looking at that list. It's ridiculous. It's going to be a good time. So come on out. We'll see you there, hopefully. But we'll definitely see more episodes coming soon. We were joking before the show. This is the road to 200.
Yeah, road to 200.
We're going to maybe not mention that every episode.
No. No, let's give it another, 80 episodes before we bring that back up.
Well, again, really thanks to everyone who listens, everyone who tweets, everyone who Facebooks, and yes, everyone who Google Pluses our show. Thank you.
None of you.
We appreciate you all the same.
Before we finish, I do have to pop in a quick movie segment.
Oh, okay. Sure.
We have to put out the reminder this week. Guardians of the Galaxy comes out.
Yes.
Go see it.
Absolutely.
Support good movies, unless you hear from me next week and I say it was garbage and then retract that. Don't. If you're listening after this and then you hear me say it's bad, don't go see it. But I don't think that's going to be a problem.
That would mean listening to them out of order and...
Right, yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, that's just confusing. Can. Well, because there's so much continuity episode to episode on this show.
So that's my recommendation for this week. Go see Guardians of the Galaxy. My do not see, do not watch Arnold Schwarzenegger's Sabotage. It is a piece of steaming crap. Yeah. It's missing both a first and a third act. The acting, there's great actors in that movie. Terrible performances.
Yes, I would have to agree. I saw that in a theater, quite unfortunately.
I'm glad I didn't pay money to see that.
Yeah.
A large amount of money.
The one kind of saving grace about it is Olivia Williams is awesome.
But so her accent's terrible.
Yeah, it is not great. Supposedly she's in the show Manhattan, which I don't even know if I have the channel that it's on, but it's supposed to be about the Manhattan Project, so atomic bomb, blah, blah, blah.
No, I mean, she's a great actress. There's lots of great actors in that movie. And even David Ayers, the director, he made End of Watch, which was an amazing movie.
Yeah, we both...
I was hoping for another End of Watch, and I ended up with another Street Kings.
That is an most excellent way to put that. Ever.
I wanted End of Watch, I got Street Kings. Also, don't watch Street Kings. It's garbage.
In other news, watch End of Watch.
Yeah, watch End of Watch.
Oh my god.
This has been your public service announcement.
Well, it seems like a perfect spot to pull the plug on the show this week. Brennan, it's been good. I think we can keep doing some more of these.
Yeah, I could keep talking at you.
Right on, right on. Well, I will talk to you next week.
Till next time, Alan.